Unicycive Therapeutics was formed from a simple mission.
Let's help every patient.
Nope, too broad.
Okay, let's solve the biggest unmet need in healthcare by thinking differently about solutions.
Better. Discover Unicycive's potential at biotechdonedifferently.com.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
On News Talk.
Now, it is a massive weekend in sport. I mean, we're actually going to be hard-pressed to get it all in, but I do have Nathan Murphy of the Off the Ball team on the line. Good evening, Nathan.
Evening, Anis.
It's great to talk to you. We obviously have a big GA weekend, two giants of the game, but let's get the All Blacks and Ireland out of the way. We lost the first one. Okay, everyone says it's the first one. You know, things can happen in a match. How much pressure do you expect Andy Farrell and co. to be under if they lose this? Because the series would effectively be gone if they lose this second one.
Yeah, it is gone if they lose, and it's going to make for a very difficult third test. I think Ireland were a little bit shell-shocked after what happened during the first half last week, considering they played so well for the first 20 minutes. Then Johnny Sexton leaves the pitch, and it disintegrated so quickly, and the All Blacks ran riot. Andy Farrell, we thought coming into this tour, he said it's the start of the World Cup cycle, building up towards France in 15 months' time. Was he going to experiment? Was he going to give some of the impressive young players a chance? He's really stayed with what he's known in these first two tests, which means there's no great excuse. This is Ireland pretty much at full strength with one or two injuries. But Johnny Sexton plays despite the head injury he picked up last week. Peter O'Mahony's in there again. It is just experience all the way through. So there's no reason why Ireland shouldn't go and be able to compete. But they just need to make less mistakes, pure and simple. And I think you're right. I think a lot of questions will be asked of Andy Farrell if they were to lose, mainly because what is he learning if they lose? They're not trying out new players, they're not gaining anything. And if they're still getting heavily beaten, I think it's going to be a bit of a wake-up call for Irish rugby just over a year out from a World Cup.
Yeah, because I think most pundits, including people on your own team, have said they've got to put some score on the board down there, whether it's one of the other tests, the Maori game, or one of the main they've got to have something to show, whatever it is. So that's why this game is actually probably takes on a new importance.
Well, it's incredibly difficult in New Zealand. Ireland have never won a test game in New Zealand, but there's ways of losing. And even if Ireland were to lose all three tests, if you were to lose three tight games, I think people would say, we're not far off. And actually, you can build from there again. And maybe you've discovered one or two new players who you can bring forward to the World Cup. If you lose the three games heavily, and they lost the first game very heavily, and didn't learn anything about anybody, and if the same happens again over the next 10 days, and if they were to lose to the Maoris on Tuesday morning, it's more a confidence thing. There's no questions about Andy Farrell's place as head coach or anything like that. But we've been in this cycle before with Ireland around World Cups where we peaked too early. And then as it gets closer to the tournament, like we've been debating for three World Cup cycles about Johnny Sexton. He's going to be 38 by the World Cup. And still, Andy Farrell doesn't feel he can trust Joey Carberry from the start tomorrow, despite, again, Johnny Sexton having injury problems from last week. That means if Sexton gets injured anywhere between now and the World Cup, Carberry probably won't really have the full trust of the players around him or the coaching staff.
No, we seem to be in a kind of a maze in terms of the discussions about Irish rugby. Let me move you on to the tennis, because when we came into this tournament, it was all the usual names, your Nadals, etc. Even Serena Williams was a big part of the media coverage. Now I'm seeing a lot of what are, to me at least, unfamiliar names, and that may be just something about me not following tennis that closely, but it seems to be suddenly a very open tournament, both in the men's and women's. I mean, throw a few names at us, and where were we at?
Well, Jabeur and Rybakina are going to be playing in the women's singles tomorrow. Ons Jabeur is the first Arab woman to ever get to a Grand Slam final. She is the third seed, so it's not a huge shock, but very much two new names there. We had Serena Williams playing for the first time in a year at Wimbledon this time, going out very early on. And this has been the problems for the ladies' singles, is that there hasn't really anybody to replace Serena Williams. And every time you look at the Grand Slams, it feels like it's a new name up there. And again, tomorrow we're going to have a new Wimbledon champion. On the men's side, it may be a bit more straightforward. Novak Djokovic, six-time winner, he's currently in action. He's playing the home favourite, Cameron Norrie, who is in a Wimbledon semi-final for the first time. They're actually tied at one set all. And it'll be fascinating. Well, it'll be fascinating regardless who wins that. If you have a British player in a Wimbledon final looking to follow in the footsteps of Andy Murray, it's going to be a huge thing over the weekend. But if it's Djokovic against Nick Kyrgios, and it is going to be Nick Kyrgios, Rafa Nadal had to pull out last night. He picked up an injury in his quarterfinal. He ended up having to withdraw from his semifinal. So that means Nick Kyrgios, who is the bad boy of tennis in many ways, both on court and off court, he's facing domestic assault charges back home in Australia after this. He's already been fined twice for his on-court behaviour at Wimbledon. It's been said it's Wimbledon's worst nightmare.
I mean, Djokovic is a bad guy for a lot of people as well, right? Mm. So you could have two of them in there. It could be interesting to see how this sport ends up being perceived, because, as you know, purity and the virtuous is what tennis prides itself in terms of marketing. Certainly Wimbledon does. In terms of what else is on this weekend, I mean, we should all be talking about Dublin Kerry. It is, you know, whether you're one of those old refugees like me from the 70s or 80s teams, you know, this should be the big thing, but we're not hearing as much buzz about it. Is it just because there's other sport on, or what's your own thinking on why it hasn't got the normal momentum?
I think it feeds into the fact that the GEA calendar has come so far forward that usually the GEA had August, September to itself for these massive occasions. You were always past the Olympics, past Wimbledon, past major football tournaments, whereas now they're right in the middle of all of them. And the fact that you get little or no media access to any of the players, any of the teams in advance, means there's not a huge amount to talk about. But it is one of the great GEA weekends. I'm in Galway at the moment, so I better be careful, because everyone is talking Dublin Kerry. Like, Galway Armagh tomorrow is going to be a sensational game. Sorry, Galway Derry tomorrow. Like, the opportunity that has presented itself for either one of those sides on the other side of the draw to get to an All-Ireland final, it's huge. You know, Galway have looked at Mayo get to All-Ireland finals many occasions over the last decade. But something similar happened in 96, 97 when Mayo got there, didn't do the job, and Galway snuck in and won an All-Ireland in 98. Maybe we'll see something similar this time around. So that's tomorrow night, and that's a huge game in its own right. Derry, it's been a long time since they've been at this stage as well. And then Sunday, like, the greatest rivalry in Gaelic games is Dublin against Kerry. Kerry with David Clifford, him looking to win that All-Ireland title for the first time. And Dublin, after losing out in the semi-final last year to Mayo, with a real point to prove that they can come back and be top dogs once again. A lot seems to depend on their fitness stakes. We spoke about David Clifford ahead of the quarterfinal. Now it's all on Conor Callaghan. Will he be fit? He is a game changer for Dublin, but this could be, never mind the sporting moment of this weekend, it could be the sporting moment of the entire year, because these are two quality outfits. It's going to be a packed house at Croke Park on Sunday afternoon. Just cannot wait for it.
And the players might even talk to you afterwards, and maybe the managers as well, which would make a refreshing change. You're doing your best to get the game the kind of hype it deserves, so well done on that. Nathan Murphy is from our Off the Ball team. Thank you very much, Nathan. A diet of GAA tennis, rugby. There's also Sepp Blatter and Michelle Platini, by the way, getting off on their fraud charges, so that's another conversation for another day.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.